Welcome back to the Fox Box Brothers podcast. He is Nick Perez. I'm Ben Perez. I almost forgot my name, Nick. But we are back with you for this, I guess, midweek break, talking a little bit about the F1 news that has dropped. We're going to get into push or box, and then we are going to end today with a ranking of good mustache, bad mustache from these legendary race car drivers. So without further ado, Nick, let's dive into it. And before we get to the news, I really want to say, like, I am a complete F1 addict now. I was walking around Saturday not knowing what to do. I was like, what am I going to fill my mornings with if I'm not watching cars go around a track 300 miles per hour?
Yeah, I mean, I was worried about today. I woke up kind of late and I was like, oh man, I'm gonna miss the Grand Prix. Miss the Grand Prix.
I felt so like Pablo Escobar in that meme, just on his giant estate, looking around, sitting on the swing, not knowing what to do with his life. But all right, Nick, let's get into it. And I think you had the first topic today, so let's talk about the new F1 news of the week.
So we have the new F1 driver, new F1 team in Cadillac coming on the grid, and their top likely candidates for the new Cadillac seat. So as of right now, in their interest, Mick Schumacher, Valtteri Bottas, Sergio Perez, and I'm forgetting his name.
Guanyu Zhou.
This is Guanyu. He's on the list. Yes.
Yeah. So but, Cadillac. Cadillac is joining in 2026, going to be the 11th team on the grid. They are just starting out as a works team. No, they're starting out as a customer team, so they will not build their engines. And then once 2028 hits, that's when Cadillac is supposed to be fully a works team with their own engine, own chassis, building all of their own stuff, similar to a Mercedes, Ferrari, and Alpine for at least this year.
Yeah.
Until they get
the Mercedes another interesting thing, engine. Alpine bailing out on their own engine company.
All right, so who do you think are the front runners to get this seat? Like, who would you, let me put it this way, who would you like to see in that Cadillac seat come 2026?
I would definitely like to see Sergio Perez in there. I feel like he has still a lot left to offer. I mean, it's rumors that he still wants to get onto the grid, like, a lot. So I feel like he would be a very good fit there. And if they wanted to go with an elder core, they would also bring Valtteri Bottas in. Mm-hmm. I could also see them bringing in either a Mick Schumacher or Zhou to come in and pair Sergio, because I feel like Sergio would be that kind of lead driver for the team.
Yeah.
An interesting fact about Valtteri, if he either reserve driver for this year, because he's reserve driver for, I think, about like four teams on the grid. He's like, I think it may be, there's a bunch of teams that he's a reserve driver for, but he would still have to serve a 5-place grid penalty from his last race that he did at Abu Dhabi. So he would still have to serve that 5-place grid penalty.
All right. So with that 5-place grid penalty, I'm taking Valtteri off the list. He can go to the grave with that race penalty. I think that Checo would be a smart move, especially with Cadillac being in an American company. He would get, or the company would definitely be able to have a big hold across all of the Americas. So I think Checo would be a really good one. And then honestly, I think Cadillac should bring in a young American driver, either someone from IndyCar, someone from NASCAR, someone that has potential, that has enough racing points, license or super license points to get on the grid. But I would love to see a Colton Herta in that in that chair. So you get someone similar to what Stake has done with Hulkenberg, being that seasoned, steady driver, and then you bring in Gabriel Bortoleto, who won F2 last year, in the up-and-coming star. And I've been, quick side note, I've been very impressed by Bortoleto this year, specifically in qualifying, because I think he's, 5-7? Or no, that wouldn't have made sense. I think they are very close. So I'll have to go back and check what the actual qualifying head-to-head is. But Gabriele Bordaletto has shown pace. So if Cadillac could do something similar with their team, is bring in someone who's experienced and then someone who they could essentially teach and groom for that potential superstar position on their team, that's who I would want to bring in. And I love the idea of bringing in Checo, because his end to Red Bull was just so unceremonious.
Yeah, it was just a weird ending in a weird way to get sent out of F1. I mean, especially when he, it's very obvious now, but he wasn't the main problem. And he was an insane driver to be able to win races and to compete with Max on a regular weekend.
Yeah, and he did decent around street circuits last year. He, in Baku, was probably going to be his best finish of the year, or the best finish of the second half of the year, when he finally put it in the top five, was probably going to get a podium. And then him and Sainz just... Sainz rammed into Checo as Checo tried to do the move down one of the straights and took them both out. But I do think that Checo would be a really good spot. So let's just wait and see. But I think I'm excited for Cadillac's lineup for next year.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, moving on to topic two, Nick.
I thought you were saying topic two.
Okay, well, moving on to topic two, let's talk about Max's potential race ban. So after he deliberately ran into George Russell last week at the Spanish Grand Prix,
Can I take a quick side note real quick?
Yes,
go. Did you even review the video that I sent you of his onboard?
Of him clearly accelerating through the turn?
Of him clearly turning the wheel and George just drove straight into him.
I don't want to... No, he clearly excelled... Like, if you go back to Max's onboard, so...
You can watch the RPMs and it doesn't shoot up. Max let him go and Max turns the wheel and then George Russell just... Boom, ran right into him. Sorry, that was my side note.
All right, well, anyway, Max got a 10-second penalty for that. Probably could have gotten DQ'd, because from what I've seen in the overhead shots, Max just accelerates straight through the turn and doesn't even attempt to avoid George. So because of that incident, Max got a 10-second penalty during the race, which dropped him from 5th down to 10th. And on top of that, they gave him a 3-point addition to his super license. So if anyone doesn't know, if you get 12 points across a year time span, you will get a race ban the following race. And we saw it with Kevin Magnussen last year when he accumulated 12 points and was disqualified, or was not allowed to run in, which I'm blanking on the race, but he wasn't allowed to run in the race. So Max is 1 point away from that. So first question on this topic, Nick, do you think that Max will stay penalty point free for the next two races before two more penalty points get dropped off at the end of June, I believe?
I think so, but I think a lot of penalty points are kind of unintentional. Like, they're either pushing too hard, so I really feel like he'll stay out of trouble, but there is always the possibility that a freaky accident could happen. Now, if this happens in FP1, do you think he goes to Le Mans?
Oh, do you think that he gets a race penalty point so he can go race in Le Mans?
Yeah, that was a question.
Get out of here, HP updates. No, I don't think that he purposely gets a point, but if he does, I think that he could easily go over to another series and race for them. I don't think Max is completely tied to Formula One. I think he's more just tied to racing. And I think I saw this on one news site. Maybe it was Drivers Rab, one of the people that I watch on YouTube. But he had brought up a quote that Max had said that this season is over for Red Bull, and that they have no chance of winning the World Drivers Championship. And I agree with him. Unless the McLaren just starts blowing up the next three races, I think it's going to be really hard for anyone else to compete for that World Drivers Championship besides Lando and Oscar. So, Nick, let's go down this hypothetical that you just brought up. So say he gets FP1, a penalty point in FP1, his race engineers don't give him enough information and he impedes someone else. Which driver do you think would be the best in that Red Bull seat? Is it Isaac Hadjar? Do they bring Yuki back? Do they bring, or sorry, they already have Yuki. Do they bring Lawson back to the team, or do they go back and get a Daniel Ricciardo or a Valtteri Bottas?
I really think, I know Valtteri has been kind of linked to talks with Red Bull, so I think it could be Valtteri. I think it would be really, really funny if they brought up Hadjar and slid someone back in the Racing Bulls.
Well, they would bring in Arvin Lindblad.
Yeah, then they bring in the next Red Bull driver up.
Because Red Bull,
I think it would be really funny if they just threw Hadjar into the team and was like, hey, let's try this.
I could see them
to get that. Like a direct comparison to Tsunoda.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for that. I am here for the chaos. I would be so happy to see Isaac Hadjar actually like get into that Red Bull seat and be able to drive it like Max. Put 0.3 on Yuki and just show everyone who's boss. Because he's been probably the most impressive rookie on the grid. It's amazing to see how far Hadjar has come from his week one DQ in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And to see where...
And I mean, that one was just such a freaky thing. Like, race in the wet. It's your first F1 race, formation lap. Like, you're trying to heat the tires up. You're trying to do what you've always done. And then it just... Oh,
just goes out the door.
Gut-wrenching. Yeah, and you qualified really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, I would love to see Hadjar. So, I know, speaking of who would replace Hadjar, if that does happen, Arvin Lindblad has been linked to that second Racing Bull seat if everything does pan out like we are talking about it right now. Red Bull has made the appeal to let him race. He does have enough super license points, I believe, but he is not young enough, or he is not old enough. He is too young to race in that. He will turn 17 after the summer break. So second half of the season, you could see him being promoted up to F2, but I doubt it would be this upcoming week or these upcoming next 2 weeks if that does happen.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, Nick, final topic of the day. Let's get into the elephant in the room and let's talk about Lance Stroll's hands. And whether we are going to see him next week, because there have been reports that he is going to be racing for Aston Martin come the Canadian Grand Prix.
Yeah, 100%. And so this is a very interesting story, and I watched a full video from the race about it. But this is apparently going back to his injury from 2023, whenever he raced back from surgery. So he's been complaining about soreness.
So Nick, tell the people what happened with Lance Stroll's hand back in 2023.
So he was mountain biking and he went over the bars and broke both of his wrists ahead, but about 2 weeks before the start of the 2023 season. He ended up racing in Bahrain and he missed all practice, but raced in Bahrain and he ended up doing pretty decently.
Took home points, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and he complained of pain the whole time. But then after that, we never really heard much about his wrist for the next 2 years until we get to Spain. And then Spain, when he pulls out, the reason why no one else replaced him was because they have to at least complete one practice session before qualifying. So, and he had already qualified.
So say they gave it to one of their reserve drivers for FP1, and then Lance takes FP2 through qualifying. Could that FP1 driver then replace Stroll?
No, you have to qualify. You have to go through qualifying.
Okay, so it's not just a practice session?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
You have to compete in qualifying.
Gotcha.
Okay, but here's the rumor. The rumor mill, I mean, there's always rumors and engineers talk between garages. So the rumor was that he got knocked out in Q2 and he got out of the car and he slammed or hit something with his hand and it broke it or hurt it.
Gotcha.
So that's the rumor that's going on.
The anger issues just punched his steering wheel and then re-injured the...
And it's funny because our brother Trey had a friend who did this exact same thing in high school. He was a volleyball player and he missed a serve, and he turned around, and he just slammed, like, the padded walls in the gym, mm-hmm. and it broke his hand. It's a very real thing to happen to mm-hmm. people.
So do you think that Stroll, will race so that no one else shows how bad of a driver Lance Stroll is? Because if they put Drogovic in the car and he is within 0.2 or 0.3 of Alonso in that Aston Martin, it gives more credence to Lance being not a good driver. Because he's a competent driver on his day. He's not mm-hmm. a Latifi. He's not the worst, the scraping the bottom of the barrel, but he is a very average driver, and I think that could cause more heat underneath his seat and Lance or Daddy Stroll's seat, Lawrence Stroll, to get rid of his own son, especially now that Newey's here and they're probably going to have a more competitive car over these next couple of years.
100%. I mean, if you ask the F1 25 game if Aston Martin has a competitive car, they have a very competitive car.
They got that Newey boost.
Hey, I don't know. I've been doing my team career inside of Aston Martin, and I've been able to put it on the front two rows. So,
well, good on you. So who would you like to see over these next 2 weeks in that Aston Martin? Do you want to see Stroll, or do you want Drogovic to get his race debut?
I think Drogovic going in for his race debut would be pretty fun.
Yeah.
To see. I always like watching new people hit the grid in F1.
Yeah, give me a rookie around the Canadian Grand Prix and let me see them meet the wall of champions. Well, I think that does it for the news of the week. We will be back with you on more news once we get closer to race week. And Nick, this is the start of the Canadian Grand Prix race week. So Media Thursday, FP1, FP2 Friday. It is on our home soil, our home continent soil. So we won't have to wake up super early. It will be at a very reasonable time for us.
Yeah, 100%.
So with that, Nick, let's close out this segment and bring up Box Box or Push next. What was that?
I knocked my mic off my desk. All right. All right. Is that what you do in the... I don't like consciously remember the transitions.
The transition, I saw that from the Ryan Russillo podcast. It's a little whoosh.
Oh, I thought you did like...
Meow. That would be cool. I'm going to take that idea and include that in the next edit. Include that in this podcast. So if you guys heard that, the next whoosh is going to be meow.
All right. Getting into Box or Push, Ben will let me know if he wants to talk about an issue or not talk about an issue, and he will either tell me to push on right past it or tell me to box for some new tires.
Let's get
it. All right, Ben, are you ready?
I'm ready to box or push.
I'm on
15 lap old softs.
All right, so getting into this first one, we have Hadjar to replace Yuki Tsunoda mid-season.
Lex, let's box on this. I need some extra pace. So Hadjar has been showing a lot of promise in that Racing Bull seat. I think that I misspoke the last podcast because Yuki only had two races with Hadjar and they went one-on-one. Yeah. So it wasn't a long amount of time to compare between the two drivers. But Hadjar has been, at least this last like triple header, has been driving amazingly. He's had great form these last three races, has put it into the points three times, and looks like he's going to have a very solid, very long F1 career. So will he go into that second Red Bull seat? I think so, and just for the sake of content, I think that they should replace Yuki at the midsummer break.
I think you're insane. That's actually crazy.
Why?
Yuki's gone in mid-season to a team that he barely knows. I mean, he knows it decently well from Racing Bulls, but I mean, you can't keep canning people.
Yeah, when you realize. Can.
No, you can't.
Why
because
not?
Because you have no stability. Kids aren't going to want to sign to Red Bull, to the Red Bull machine. You're not going to be able to find your Max Verstappen because you're going to go elsewhere.
Well, Max was if we go back to Max, how long did he have in that Racing Bull seat before they said that he was ready to go up to the main team? Half a season?
Didn't he have about it? Yeah.
A half a season. So if we're saying that a person is ready to drive after a half a season, because honestly, I had this thought the other day driving, is that when do you stop becoming a rookie in any other sport? In the NFL, say, Nick, since you play football.
After your first season?
So when would you say that rookies feel, maybe I'll ask it the question this way. When do you feel that rookies get comfortable playing in an NFL game and the nerves, the bright lights of everything of the NFL stage starts to diminish for a rookie? Is it week 4, week 8?
I'd say about 3/4 through the season.
3/4
around that week 10, week 12.
Okay, because I was thinking that it was probably about like halfway through the season. So about week 8, you're comfortable with what you're seeing out on the field. You know the playbook. You understand how quick the game is compared to the college stage. So
Then I'd say about like halfway. Yeah, halfway or maybe even earlier.
Yeah, I mean, you probably start getting comfortable around the 4th week, and then I think that the rookie mistakes can happen, but they should be much less. So for F1, I would say that a lot of rookies are going to be comfortable with the F1 stage around mid-season. And if we take an example of Max, who also had a half a season at that the Racing Bulls AlphaTauri second Red Bull sister team, however many iterations that they've had through it, I would say that about halfway through the year, the rookie would be comfortable driving.
No, no, no. Max Verstappen was there for 19 months at Toro Rosso.
Oh, was he at Toro Rosso that long?
Yes. He was there for a half and a full season. Well, drove from January 1st, 2015 to May 5th, 2016.
But I think Isaac Hajar has made his, I guess, presence and driving style known. I think he is on pace to become that second Red Bull driver. And I think that with the rate that Yuki has been driving at, which is 5/10 behind Max on most of the weekends that they've driven together, I think if you can, you would move Yuki back down and you give Hajar a go. Like, they're not going to expect anything of him, and then you could do a similar situation that you saw Kimi Antonelli and Mercedes do, is get him comfortable, don't expect him to be up with Max, but he's going to be the next thing. And
that was what they were going to do with Lawson, and then they bailed on him.
Well, that's because Lawson was also slow, and Hajar has consistently beat Lawson at the Red Bull racing team.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but...
Like, he's 3/10, he's been 3/10 faster than Lawson during qualifying.
I really don't like it, though. I feel like you're just setting yourself up for another failure.
Well, you have Arvin Lindblad coming up through the ranks, so I think that you give it a shot, because what else do they have? Like, are you just going to leave Yuki at the top team, letting him flounder?
Well, I thought that was what their whole thing was.
Well, I mean, he's definitely not getting another race seat in F1 after this.
Well, I mean, it's so interesting, that whole Red Bull team. It's kind of very toxic.
Extremely toxic. That's why I think that it could happen. I know on the last podcast I said it probably shouldn't. But I think that Hajar could probably do better in that Racing Bull than Yuki has.
I don't think so. I think Hajar's really good. I don't think he's that good, though.
Okay. Well, let's see in a couple weeks, once July hits, see where Red Bull is with that seat. So, Nick, all right, got a new set of tires. Let's go for a few more laps.
All right. Doohan, next up. Doohan should not have been replaced for... Calipinto.
Keep it push. I don't care about Alpine right now. That second Alpine seat is absolutely ridiculous. Fabio Briatore is probably one of the most toxic men in F1. So I think Colapinto was deserved to get that second seat based off of his performance at Williams. He has struggled. I don't know if I would have put him in for Doohan, but I also don't know if I would have signed Colapinto if I had already had doing. So like, keep pushing, because I don't know what's going on with that Alpine.
All right, next up, we're driving on down the road. Is Hamilton washed?
Hamilton washed. Let's come in for a wing adjustment. I will say this. I don't think that Hamilton is washed. I think that he is still one of the best drivers on the grid. He's in the top six, because I would put Oscar, Lando, Max, George, Leclerc, Hamilton. I think he's number six. I think that he's better than Alonso. He's definitely better than Kimi. He's better than Yuki. And those are the top four teams. So I think that he's still probably the number like five, because I think he's a better race driver than he's comparable to George. So if you wanted to put George five and Lewis six, I'd be fine with that. But
yeah,
I don't think that he is washed enough to say that he should be out of F1.
And that begs the question, how good was the Mercedes?
Not good at all. They're still.
What? No, I'm saying when he was winning all of his championships, how much better was that car?
I mean, it's like the McLarens this year. So they did have the best car in the V6 twin turbo era. I think the car helps, but we even saw it last year when Lando had the best car, the most consistent car, he wasn't able to bring home the driver's championship. So the driver does make a lot, and you hear Nico Rosberg talk about how good Hamilton was. And Hamilton has competed with Jenson Button, Fernando Alonso. He's competed with George Russell. He's competed with Valtteri Bottas, who is an extremely solid driver. And now he's competing with Leclerc and isn't getting blown out of the room. So I think that he is a very competent driver, and I will not hear any of this Lewis slander until he is down with Steak Sava for 2027.
Okay, moving right along. Is this Oscar's championships to lose?
No, we'll keep it. We'll push right now. He's 10 points ahead of Lando Norris. So there's after week 9. So there's a lot more racing to do. He does have the edge right now, but we have a break. We're going to quell that momentum for a little bit. And let's talk about this again at the mid-season break. And if he's up by more than 50 points on Lando Norris, then yes, it would be his World Drivers Championship to lose. But let's push for now.
All right, moving right along. Is Hülkenberg worthy of a top team?
Box right now. Oh, so
you really want to talk about this?
Yeah, I want to say one thing is that no, Hulk should not go to a top team. And I say this because I don't want Hulk's myth to be diminished with him going up to a top team. We saw it when Checo was at a midfield team scoring podiums on occasion. He had this mythos about him that, oh, what could Sergio Perez do in a top seat? And for a little bit, he did really well at Red Bull. He got that seat. We saw him be able to at least like compete with Max on his day. He was doing much better than Pierre Gasly did. He did much better than Albon did. And we saw that rise. And with that rise comes a fall. And once Checo stopped performing in that Red Bull seat, all of that goodwill that Checo had earned and garnered from Racing India and Racing Point,
Force India,
we saw that crumble within a few weeks after he was putting in P10s. Granted, the car was, I'll use a Scottish verb, shite, that been watching Department Q on Netflix, great show, but they've been using shite, so I wanted to incorporate that in today. But that car was shite, and people blamed him and his driving style because Max was still able to put it up in on the front row, was still able to take home podiums, and was still able to come home with the World Drivers Championship. And I worry that if Hulk gets promoted to a top team, that he will follow in the same path as Checo Perez. He will be very good at the start, but then if they do start tailoring it, say he gets picked up by Ferrari, which in this hypothetical scenario, gets picked up by Ferrari, I think that he would compete with Leclerc on his day, but he would never be competing for the World Drivers' Championship. And I could see that fall again.
Yeah.
And maybe for this scenario, him becoming Max's teammate would be a better scenario of that meteoric drop. So no, I don't think that Hulk should go to a top team.
Yep. And moving right along into our final topic of today, will Max Verstappen be out of the Red Bull by midsummer or next year?
Like fully?
Yeah. Like, will he be gone from Red Bull?
All right. So say he gets that penalty point and just leaves F1.
I'm saying he switched his teams because he has an option in his contract to still get out. Mercedes is holding out for him. Aston hasn't re-signed Lance yet. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of stuff in the air that is all waiting on Max Verstappen's choice to where he wants to drive.
Okay, so this is him going to a different team, not getting the one penalty point, going over to Le Mans and just being like, hey, I'm Franz Herman now.
Yeah, no, it's not that.
And giving a big middle finger to Mohamed Bin Salayem. So if Max leaves for another team, I think he might get signed at the summer break. I think negotiations are going to really heat up, and I think that's going to be one of our main topics come July, like 3rd. After that, the first race in July, and then we won't be back until July 28th, right around then. But I think that the leading front runners are going to be Mercedes and Aston Martin. I think that Mercedes is probably the choice. If I had to put money on it, he would be with Mercedes, and Toto Wolff has not confirmed George Russell as of recording yet. I know George really wants that contract, but Toto hasn't given it to him. So I think Toto is waiting for Max to say, all right, Daddy Toto, I'm ready to come join the Mercedes team like I should have done 7 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting to see that happen.
Where do you think that he goes?
I really think he goes to Ferrari.
Are they kicking out Charles or kicking out Lewis? Because Lewis has another, like, what, $50 million each year?
No, I was joking by that. I do think he would. It'd be very interesting to see him in a Mercedes, but I think it could be plausible.
Let's get him to the Silver Arrows.
And then I'll have to become a fan of the team I hate the most.
It's okay. I'm a Ferrari fan now because of Lewis. So join the club. All right, Nick, thanks. I think I can get to the end of the race on these tires. Let's just push, 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 push.
All right.
Coming up next, let's get into our final segment of the day. And I'm going to have Nick blind rank these drivers' mustaches next. All right, Nick, we are back. I have one final segment for you, and I just need you to rate these mustaches, good mustache, bad mustache, from these legendary drivers. So let's get into it, and I'm going to share my screen. Let's do entire screen. Share. I just have to click it. There we go. Sweet. Can you see my screen?
I can see your screen.
All right. So first up, Valtteri Bottas. Good mustache, bad mustache?
I'm going to go with a good mustache. It looks good. It fits his face, personality. I'm going to say a good mustache.
All right. We're putting it in the good column. He's got that Aussie vibe going. I love it. I'm completely happy with this being in the good column. All right. Next up, we're going to go to the daddy's boy in Lance Stroll.
I'm gonna say bad mustache. He looks like a villain from a 2010s movie, 2000s movie, with the thick goatee. I don't like it. It looks bad on him.
Yeah.
If he were to grow a full beard, I feel like it'd look better.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. He's definitely already halfway there with the billions of dollars that he inherited from daddy. So throwing it in the bad mustache column. All right, Nick. Next up, we're going to move up to our boy Daniel Ricciardo. And this picture, rocking a cowboy hat and whatever that facial hair is.
So I'm going to say on the mustache part, I'm going to give him bad mustache. But overall on the facial hair, it looks pretty cool. But his mustache just really isn't all there, you know?
It's not very thick, but you might have people in the comments coming after you for throwing this glorious facial hair in the... throwing this glorious facial hair in the bad con, but we're going to throw it in the bad. This is your list. All right, next up, Nick, we have a legend of the F1 grid, and we're going to throw up Nigel Mansell. Look at that. Look at that glorious Tom... like, that mustache gives Tom Selleck a run for his money.
He just popped up on my screen. Man, that is a good mustache. That's like when you think of a mustache, that's what you think of. That's a good mustache right there.
All right. You throwing it up in the good column?
In the good column.
All right. I couldn't agree more. That's just furry. All right. Fifth on this list, we're going to go with Esteban Ocon. He is a Frenchman, so they are known for their mustaches. But where are you putting his mustache, Nick?
One, in this photo, he looks a lot like Trey, I feel like. but no... I'm gonna put it in bad mustache.
All right, so throwing Esteban Ocon in the bad mustache. I'm not upset about it. It's a very thin mustache, which leaves you one more slot. And I think you did well on today's list, Nick, because the final person we're coming in with is RIP, the legend himself, Dale Earnhardt.
I think it's an incredible mustache. I mean, like, when you think of mustaches, that's what you gotta think of. I mean, that's just iconic. It's iconic for him. It's iconic for the sport of NASCAR. So
yeah, I 100% agree. So I like your list today. You threw up Bottas, you threw up Nigel Mansell, and you threw up Dale Earnhardt Jr. So like I can't argue with that good mustache, bad mustache list. All right, cool. Well, good. we'll transition there. But Nick, any final closing thoughts for the people today?
Go like and follow the Instagram. We are Boxbox Brothers F1 on Instagram. Go follow.
Rate and comment on the Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your F1 or your Boxbox Brothers F1 podcast. It does help the algorithm and it does help our channel grow. So if you like listening to me and Nick talk F1, please go and support us on those channels. And this week we will be coming out on YouTube as well, posting there. So if you want to watch us in person talk about these in our little apartments, we will be on camera there.
100%.
All right. Anything else?
I think I'm good to retire the car. Retire the car.
All right. Well, we will see you guys previewing for the Canadian Grand Prix this upcoming week. So with that, peace.